wasn't getting that game of charades for a second. Well, welcome everyone to the LTD Board of Directors regular meeting on November 16th. And I call this meeting to order at 4:31 p.m. And let's just go ahead and start with a roll call. So I'm going to start to my right, Susan Cox. Thank you, Susan. Gino Formaldi.
Here.
Thank you, Pete Knox.
Here.
Thanks, Pete. Don Norden.
Here.
Thank you, Michelle Weber.
Here.
All right, we're all here. Thank you all for being here this evening as well. I'm going to go ahead and start off with comments from the board president. And so the first thing I'm going to say is I have to leave early today. So I'm going to hand the reins over to Dawn if we are still continuing at 6 p.m. If things are swift, great. And I apologize for that. My real job actually wants me to do something today. So, so in all seriousness, I have to recognize someone to the left of me, Jameson, is at the table. And round of applause for our new CEO. We are so thrilled to have you here. It was a long road. We are so happy that you accepted this position. We're so excited about your leadership, and we can't wait to work with you.
Likewise.
Okay.
Likewise. Thank you.
So the energy is very real among board members about the future, and we are so hopeful about what we're going to see out of LTD for years to come. I also want to recognize someone else that's here today who didn't know I was doing this, but Lawrence Green, will you stand up for a minute? We have a new board member in the audience. Lawrence is joining us in January. Let's also give him a round of applause. We appreciate you taking the time to come. We look forward to seeing you again in December, and all of us are here to support you as you step into this very important role. I also want to mention really quick to these board members as it relates to Lawrence, there is a new board member orientation that's going to be happening fairly soon, I believe in December, and that will actually be complemented by some workshops in early 2023, and then a retreat later in the year. So there's a lot of onboarding that is planned and a lot of educational opportunities for board members, so be on the lookout for that, and I'm excited to support three new board members coming on. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to give the main presentation for APTA's Board Talk Live. The topic was CEO performance evaluations. And for the board members, we have had a long history with different performance evaluations of the CEO. We're in a great place to the point where we are looked at one of the industry's best, and they are asking us to present what we're doing and how it's working and how it's right. And so that was attended by people across the country, and great representation and great accolades, of course, for LTD, which is always the reoccurring theme when we get to do things with APTA, is we have a nation saying, wow, LTD is doing great things. So kudos to all the staff making that happen. And I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jameson for his very first comments from the CEO.
Well, thank you. First off, I want to piggyback on President Vargas' comments. I'm excited about the future here at LTD, and I'm excited for a few reasons. First and foremost, the board. I want to thank the board. I think the board is engaged. The board was able to get validation on the organization recently on a trip to APTA to hear how the organization is viewed. I want to thank the LTD team, the team here. I've had opportunity to kind of roll into this gig in a different kind of way. The team here is committed, from your executives to your operators, to your staff, to your fleet mechanics, your facilities folks. The team's committed. The team wants to do the right thing. The team wants to serve the public in the right ways. The community, I've had the opportunity to have lots of conversations around the community. The community is engaged. The community is vested in what we do. They recognize the value of what we do, particularly when we right-size it and do it in ways that are intentional and impactful for those we serve. I want to thank Rob sitting in the audience. Rob's an advocate. He'll give you a dose of reality, and that's what we need. We need a dose of reality to make sure that we're serving the communities the right way. I want to thank the two gentlemen sitting in the front row, leadership of the ATU. They've been very helpful, both to me personally, my family, explaining benefits and other things, touring the system, looking at the nuances of what what our operators, what our fleet mechanics go through each day, in a very positive way, in a way that says that they want to pull on the rope just as hard as everyone else. I think we have work to do in my conversations with the community. I think we have some work to do. I think that the work we have to do is critical. It's around how we take in feedback, how we put that feedback in the decision-making process. We'll speak to that a little bit later in the meeting. But for my first 100 days, I just wanted to share just four key areas that I want to focus around. Those areas are around engagement, both with our communities, with our passengers, with our employees. Want to engage and see what their experience is and how we can build on that. Organization alignment. We have a strategic business plan. We have key people in key places. We want to make sure that we're set up in ways that are going to lead to success and what we've identified as success measures. Our talent, our internal talent, making sure that we have the proper talent, that the skill sets are there, and that there's an opportunity to grow professionally in what we do each day, because there's a direct benefit to the community. And then our mission, vision, and values, making sure that we're living those each day and that they're defined across the organization. So my first few weeks here have been positive. We're going to have a town hall meeting on Friday to kind of lay out what the focus will be. We'll have a follow-up town hall at the end of 100 days, which will be Valentine's Day. So hopefully it's still a love fest. And we'll tell where we're tracking at that point as well. So very pleased to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. And with that, I'll close my mouth.
All right. So just as a quick reminder, we have two more meetings in 2022. So we're going to have a work session on December 7th. And then we moved up our regular board meeting to December 14th because it was a little too close to the holidays. So just as a reminder to everyone here. With that being said, at our work session, there were no additions to the agenda, but I'd like to check if any board members have announcements. Yes, Pete.
I want the board know that and you were in attendance last night for the State Transportation Improvement Fund and Advisory Committee. Or STIF, as people may know, and don't have that arm. Last night they approved the in-district and out-of-district STIFs things, formula funds, and that's going to come to the board in January, I think. And then in January, we're going to have one more STIF advisory committee meeting to look at some things that haven't come through yet. So expect those to be coming through. It will be approved by the board in the next couple months.
All right. Any other announcements from board members? Okay. Now the part we've all been waiting for, employee of the month, because that's why we're all really here. So Bill and Nellie, come on up to the front. So you're going to go ahead and stand up there, and we're going to turn that microphone on, or sit, whatever you're comfortable with, sorry.
Hi, for those who don't know me, I am Bill Klum, the Customer Service Supervisor, and it has actually been my privilege to be the supervisor of such a terrific team of customer service representatives, and we're here to celebrate one. For going above and beyond, I personally think this is just one incident of her doing this. She does it on a daily basis. Not only does she does that, but if you're there and come in, and she's our cheerleader also, feels really good to come into an office and have an employee go, Bill, 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 let you know you're there. And she's ready to go. And her name is our Nellie Tapia.
Hi, nice to meet you. Arnelli. I can't say my own name. I've been working for the company for almost 2 years now. January will be my anniversary. And I'm really thankful to be working here. Previously, I did a lot of retail work, and working here is amazing. I love coming in. I feed off of my group. My coworkers are amazing. I think they make me great, and we reflect that to each other. And having bills on in this group is just great. I love it. I really do.
Let's hear a round of applause for Nelly. Pin for you, employee of the month for November. And then we have something, and then we also have a special certificate. So, and you're loving adoring fans.
I'll be available for signatures later.
Especially if they're a little piece like that.
This is my job.
Thank you.
So we're going to go ahead and move on to audience participation and public comment. Is it Bill Bradley? Is that how you pronounce it?
That's funny.
And Rob Seiko on deck. Camille, will you give the spiel for public comment, please?
So for those who are virtual and would like to provide public testimony, please raise your hand. If you are attending via your phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, your name will be called, or if you're in person, your name will be called in the order that it was put on the sign-in sheet. Once you have provided, or excuse me, you'll have 3 minutes to provide testimony. And you will only be provided one opportunity to speak. And Bill, whenever you are ready.
All right, let's get to it. Hello, my name is Bill Bradley. I'm from Cottage Grove, representing ATU 757. I've had the opportunity to come before the board multiple times, highs, lows. It's been quite a roller coaster over the last few years. Today I'm coming at a high. I think we're coming in with a lot of optimism. I'm hearing a lot from my members, the kind of legwork, the groundwork that our new CEO, Jameson Otten, is doing. Even before he started day one on the job, he was here. He was meeting with members. He was meeting with community members. He was touring fleet. He was riding buses. That speaks a lot to our members just to see their GM out there, and CEO, my bad, Jameson, to see him out there and get to know their name and face, not through a picture, but through an in-person meeting, which was wonderful. Jameson has been easy to communicate with. I think, you know, we have a chance to take this district to the next level. Obviously, we're still running a reduced service to our community. We have a lot of opportunity in front of us to build the system back better. We have a lot of, things in the fire right now that we can really talk about and make big changes and set this district on the course for the next 3, 4, 5 years to make sure that the community is getting served, which is ultimately what we're here to do. Jameson has definitely had an open ear, and we're excited for that. I don't want to make it all about Jameson. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to the December meeting, but I do want to thank the board members for their service that won't be here after December. Caitlin, I congrats to you. I know you won a big award the other day, and I just want to thank you for your service on the board and what you've been doing for this community and representing us nationally at APTA conferences across the nation. You definitely held your own up there. I got to see it for myself, my own eyes and ears. You did LTD proud on that day, so thank you.
Thank you.
Don, your time as my rep from Cottage Grove, I know the community has definitely valued your input, your desire to see more service down in South Wayne County, make better connections to the big hub up here. You definitely were a good advocate for your constituents there, and hopefully we can continue to find good advocates to fill that position. So thank you, Don, for your service to this board. Oftentimes, board of directors at LTD don't get the recognized in the community, for all the work you do. I know all the work you do. I can't even make all the meetings. I don't know how you guys do it. And hold other jobs. So kudos to you all. And you know, looking forward to seeing new folks come on the board. So look forward to meeting them as well. But anyway, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Bill. Do you want our virtual person to go first and then Rob? Is that okay with you, Rob?
In virtual attendance, we have Leo Folsom wishing to provide testimony. Leo, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi, my name's Leo. I'm here representing the Southeast Neighbors Transportation Subcommittee of the Neighborhood Committee. And I'm a relatively new face in town, moved to Eugene in December. And I joined the committee because I was interested in transportation issues. And so we just wanted to say hello and welcome to Jameson. We're really glad you're here. Looking forward to working with you and preserving the bus routes of South Eugene. They're important to us. And you know, we want to do everything we can to help them thrive and serve the community. Also, I just wanted to extend a thank you to Don Norden, who served as our representative on the LTD board. Don, we haven't had too much of a chance to interact and work together because, as I mentioned, I'm new around here. But pretty much every meeting we have every 2 weeks, your name comes up and there's just so much gratitude and appreciation for your service. So thank you. Also wanted to note that we, you know, we're actively meeting with bus drivers. We're supportive of their efforts, trying to, you know, do what we can to support them and help them do well at their jobs and also be well at their jobs. And on that note, John Q. Murray, noted journalist who is also a member of our committee, has written about some of the safety concerns that the bus drivers are facing, attacks on bus drivers. You know, and you can only imagine, or some of you probably know from experience, what that can be like. And so that's just really on the top of our mind. And we want to make sure that the board is aware and understands that it's also just a really important concern for the subcommittee, and I think for a lot of people in the community. So that's all. I encourage everyone to check out some of those articles that really kind of lay bare the some of the challenges the drivers and riders are facing. That's all for me. I'll give the time back.
Thank you. Rob, go ahead. And if you could state your city of residence group representing, that'd be great. And your name.
Good evening, President Caitlin, members of the board. I'm Rob Zako. I live in Eugene. I'm executive director of Better Eugene Springfield Transportation. Jameson, often my job is to come to meetings like this because nobody else does. And sometimes I'll testify because nobody else will, just so you don't feel lonely and somebody says something. But Caitlin and Jameson and Bill and Leo, you've all said what I was going to say. So I don't know that you need me tonight, but let me say it anyways. Don, it's been great working with you. I'm not going to be here next month, so I really want to thank you for all of your service. I'll miss you on Lane Act and hope to see you down in Cottage Grove, meet up at the Kressel Bakery. Caitlin, we're going to be missing you too, but you're going on to bigger and better things with APTA. Congratulations. Thank you for all your service. And Jameson, we're really excited to have you here. Let me know, let Best know, let our partners know how we can support you, the organization. We want you all to be successful. We know that there are challenges. The flip side of challenges is opportunities. There are ways to do things better. And like Bill said, we're looking forward to it. So let's get on the bus and let's make some good stuff happen. Welcome. And I will come back in January and I will welcome you, Lawrence, and Kelly and Heather, a new bunch of board members. So looking forward to that. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Will you turn that microphone off up there? Right. Isn't this a fun way to start meetings? All this appreciation for everybody. Every time. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to board member reports. So now is the chance that we hear from board members about different committees that they've attended since we met last, and let us know what's going on. Anyone care to go first? Yes, Don, please.
Well, this isn't specifically about the committee, but I kind of following in on what Bill Bradley said, you know, in your acceptance for your award the other day, you said something about, oh, this is the high point of my life. This is, you know, the best life. And I'm thinking, this is just the first. You're going to be getting more of these and more recognition, because I believe that's your trajectory, however you pronounce these.
Thank you, Don. And I appreciated you being there. That meant a lot. And you as well. Thank you. So this month we had our MPC meeting that Don and I attended, and then you had Lane Act. Did the contract committee? Okay. And is there anything you want to say in regards to the contracts that we see on the consent calendar?
Awesome. Yes. Okay. First, to continue this theme of positivity, I would like to thank the staff that presents to us at the contract committee and for their willingness to always answer our questions, you know, with just graciousness. I really do appreciate the time that you take to explain things to us and put information out for the public. So thank you for that. That said, we did meet on Monday. We had one contract that we discussed, and it is on the consent calendar for tonight.
Perfect. Thank you. And Pete already talked about the STEM committee meeting that we had last night. I had an OMPOC meeting, which is the Oregon Metropolitan Planning Organization Consortium, and then gave a report out with Steve Moe, Springfield City Councilor, to our MPC group, you know, all the acronyms. And just so you know, we're talking about OMPOC's 2023 legislative priorities. So the majority of that, there's 8 different MPOs in that group, including Central Lane. And so we all had to identify what we felt like was relevant on the presented legislative priorities. And what am I missing about MPC? That, I know there's so many meetings. Tom, was there anything specific about MPC that I'm missing?
No, I think it was discussion.
Okay. All right. Great. With that, let's go ahead and move on to the consent calendar. What discussion do we have there? And if none, we can make a motion. Yes?
I'll make a motion.
Great.
I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2022-11-16-060. It is hereby resolved that the consent calendar for November 16, 2022 is approved as presented.
Second. Thank you. All right. All in favor, Susan?
Aye.
Thank you. Gino?
Yes.
Pete?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Michelle?
Yes.
And I vote aye, so that passes unanimously. All right, thank you. So we are doing good on time. All right, do we do a drum roll or how does this work? This is your first agenda item. Are you excited? Okay. All right, so with that, Jamison Otten.
Well, thank you, board. The item in front of you is a community outreach and communications assessment. For some background or context, as we like to say, there have been several meetings, board meetings here, where there have been questions around outreach and how we gather feedback. And if we go to great enough efforts to really gather that feedback and incorporate it into the decision-making process. Through conversations in the community in various quarters, that theme has arisen as well. How do we get more input into decision-making? How do we become more transparent in what we do? So the item in front of you is first off, information only. We'll be coming back to you at a work session with a scope of work for an assessment that takes a look at how do we go after community outreach? What is the public's expectation versus their experience in the reality? Is there a gap analysis there that we need to look at? How does that translate into a greater level of transparency and a best practices, if you would, that LTD can implement? You know, we're implementers. LTD is implementers, and we should be in a place where we're the best implementers in the country. And what we implement is built upon with good, solid feedback from our communities that we serve that allow us to do provide services that are right-sized and intentionally effective for our users. So that's what this assessment will take a look at through various ways. Now, what's interesting about is we are building in a external steering committee for this process. We'll put the scope together. We'll have the scope evaluated for completeness by outside external stakeholders. And then we'll procure a consultant to do this work for us. We're looking to create an external steering group where LTD staff will serve as a resource through the process. We want to co-create how we move forward with our communities and with those who keep the lights on, you know, our business community, our stakeholders, and have them have a say and seat at the table. So we'll be coming back to you at the next work session with a scope of work for this. And we feel it's a good time to do this. It's a good time to assess, you know, moving forward has raised certain questions, and we see those in the media. Moving ahead has raised certain questions. And we want to be able to address those, not just for the moving ahead project, but for how we move ahead, period, and have that into our work process. So with that, I'll take any questions intentionally 30,000 feet, just to make sure that we know that this is coming, but we can dive deeper once we have the scope created at a work session.
Please. I don't really have a question, more of a comment and appreciation for bringing this forward. I think it's really important that we have these conversations with our community and understand what we should be delivering to them. So look forward to the results that we see in January from this.
Yes, please, Susan. Jameson, first of all, welcome. But thank you for this initiative. I'm someone that has been concerned about what I felt like was not adequate community input, and especially because of COVID, much of it was unavoidable. But I see this as a really positive reset, and I think the community is going to embrace it. I think that you will move ahead on the other side with a lot more robust, enthusiastic involvement from the community. So thank you for doing this. I really support it.
Thank you.
Pete? Yeah, I know in conversation with you, Jameson, this is something of a priority for me, and I really look forward to seeing what, as you kind of outlined, as you said, a 30,000 foot view of your plan, and really interested to see how that's going to unfold. And I think this is a perfect time to really look at this, especially as we come out of COVID and move. And I hate to use the word moving ahead, but we'll move forward from here. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
I guess I want to retrench a little bit. I mean, been on the oversight committee for moving ahead since 2015 or something like that. And I really appreciate the technical work that the staff, both Eugene and LTD, have been doing, how we've had community input, brought the thing back, readjusted it, put it out again, had community input. I certainly don't want to throw away the baby with the bathwater here. There was a lot of work done in it. It was very important to do. I mean, our experience with trying to do West 11th was like, okay, let's take this thing, and realizing, oh no, we've got to do all this other work first and get all these other corridors approved and stuff like that. So we're jumping through these hurdles slowly. And well, I won't be involved anymore, but it's, I just want to recognize that there's been a lot of work, very good work, a lot of consultation from all over the country. And, it's still a valuable project. It just maybe needs some more community involvement, which you just discussed. So,
Thank you. And I want to acknowledge the work that the staff, both here and the city, have done We do really good work. I think that, you know, part of what we're trying to identify is how can we do better in terms of getting that community engagement and bringing that into the process, but also how do we tell the story? You know, how do we tell the story on the what's in it for me and what does this build for the future of the areas that we serve? So we'll be looking at those pieces, and certainly the staff does a fantastic job in planning, and again is recognized. Our goal is to make sure that John Q. Public understands what's going on and how they can get input into the overall process, and if there's something else we can do to facilitate that.
Any other questions or comments for Jameson? Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing about that. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next agenda item. Amy, come on up. We are excited to see you again. You gave such a great presentation at the work session. So we are happy you're back and looking forward to learning more about the Q3 results.
Q Q1 fiscal year.
That's what I meant.
Fiscal year 23.
Q1 results.
Right. No. All right. Well, no pressure. Thank you for that warm introduction. I'm going to try and take my time tonight. That's been one of my personal and professional goals recently, is just to kind of slow down and take in the experience. So I'll start with a thank you as well, President Vargas, Don. I've been following your work on the board and what the board does since I started about a year and a half ago. I came from healthcare, very different worlds, and it's just been really cool to watch the civic process play out and also be a part of it. So kind of coming at it from both sides, just really appreciate it and thank you for your service. So my name's Amy Reichert. I'm an IT project manager at LTD. I've been helping support the strategic business plan management since we started implementing it in October of 2022. And today I'm going to share our fourth quarter's worth of results through Q1 fiscal year 23. We'll make sure we've got the right presentation. Yep, that looks good. Okay. So tonight we're specifically going to be evaluating our progress in our five strategic focus areas, our organizational scorecard, as well as highlighting some of the tactical work that we've been doing. As we walk through this, I am going to try to provide some context for anyone that's new to our plan. We're sort of right in the middle of it. It's a 2022 to 2024, but people come and go, and we've got new board members who are going to be coming on. I think we'll go really in depth with what the plan's all about, how it's designed and all that during the retreats. But I'll do my best tonight to give enough context so that as I start talking, metrics, key performance indicators, strategic focus areas, all these kind of buzzwords, hopefully it'll make sense. But if you have questions, I'll welcome at the end. This slide's really important. This is obviously our mission, vision, values. This is really the core of the plan. This is what represents the aspirational foundation of our work. So I think it's really important and it's really valuable that we always highlight this in every presentation that we do. Next slide, there you go. So our aspirational mission, vision, and values have guided us to define goals across five strategic focus areas. So for LTD, our focus areas are customer satisfaction, employee engagement, community value, financial health, and sustainability. And in all of our work that we're doing, we're trying to ground ourselves in one of these five areas or more than one of these areas. And I think an example, when you guys read your agenda item summaries, you know, it's always linked to a strategic focus area. And that's just a really one small example of how we're trying to connect the work we do to our focus areas. Within each area, we've set a key performance indicator to let us know how we're doing. And as of the end of our quarter one fiscal year 2023, LTD is, I'm pleased to say, on track in all five focus areas. So specifically, we've established our net promoter score at 21%, which we did in 2021. And we hit this benchmark during our 2022 ABBG customer satisfaction survey. And we'll talk a little bit more about that result later because it's a pretty great result. We've established our employee engagement score of 65%. We've established a baseline for the percentage of the community that believes we provide value, which is 79%. And that was from our 2022 community value survey. We've maintained our targets in our three-year rolling financial plan, and our greenhouse gas emission status has already exceeded the target that we set for ourselves in this plan at this time remains unchanged and is due for remeasurement next year. All right, so our organizational scorecard, in addition to the main outcomes that I just discussed in the five strategic focus areas, our organizational scorecard measures 24 different key performance indicators across these five strategic focus areas. And you can see there's a prioritization, the points represent the priority, and we score ourselves. We give ourselves a score based on how we're doing on those 24 indicators. Our goal is to get to 100 points by the end of the plan cycle in fiscal year 2024. It's aspirational, and you know we're on our way. So let's take a look at how we're doing. This next slide here. So as of the end of our last quarter, Q1 fiscal year 23, LTD has made significant progress in our quest towards 100 points. If you look at the Q4, about on bottom line here, Q4 to Q1, you see we jumped from about 67 points up to 86 points. That's a significant jump. And that's a really a testament to a lot of the hard work that we've been doing in our tactical work areas. So you go to our next slide. At the highest level, the highest level highlight really is that LTD is keeping a pace on the plan. We're designing work, we're designing projects, we're setting milestones, we're holding ourselves accountable to those. I think the biggest win, as I sit here tonight, this is four quarters worth of reporting on a plan that took a year to create. There's a lot of effort, a lot of energy. I was talking with Tom actually right before this, and he used the word coalescing. There's a coalescing around the plan. That's a lot of institutional wisdom right there. So I think that's a good word for it. We're coalescing around a plan. We're making progress. The combination of all of our work in this last quarter has really allowed LTD to establish meaningful targets and start setting really realistic milestones about how to hit and exceed those targets as we move forward. So I am going to call out one really, this is kind of like digging deep into the metrics. I'm a metric person. So I love this stuff. Hopefully some of you out there like graphs like I do. This is a fun one to me because, you know, today this is one of our 24 organizational scorecard metrics is the net promoter score. So for anyone not familiar, the net promoter score is basically looking at, you ask a question on a 0 to 10 scale, how likely are you to recommend LTD? And the net promoter score is the percent of promoters minus the percent of detractors. It's an industry standard for evaluating customer satisfaction. And across the industry, transit net promoter scores were really hard hit by COVID. In 2021, LTD reported a negative 1% NPS. So just a little bit less than zero, which means overall people were detractors in the community. In 2022, LTD reported an NPS of 21%. So we went from being a kind of a net neutral to slightly detracting community to a promoter. There's promotion of the LTD service in the community. I think this is a testament to the hard work across operations, fleet, marketing, and communications, and all of the support functions to really prioritize the customer and the community experience of LTD, which has been a theme tonight. So what's next? I think you've been hearing about it tonight. I think you'll hear about more of it after I am done here, but we're really focused on employee engagement. It's big. We want to make sure we're prioritizing our employees. I liked what our friend from the Southeast Neighborhood Group, I think he said, be well at work. I like that. I think that's a really nice way to think about it. And that's what we're trying to do internally. We're trying to, specifically the tactical work will be focused on workforce diversity initiatives, employee development, and employee turnover. As Jameson mentioned, there's a big emphasis on the way we engage with our community, how our community perceives us. That'll be an important planning process for us. We'll be launching our comprehensive operations analysis. And, a really important part of any good plan is when you start doing well is to maintain that success. So we're doing that. Our financial health targets are on track. Our customer satisfaction targets are on track. And we want to really maintain that, bring a continuous improvement mindset to it so that we're not getting stagnant in that work. And that's all I've got for you tonight. So I welcome any questions that you all would like to ask.
Lived up to the hype. You did great.
Oh, thank you.
What questions do you guys have? So can you walk us through, so going from 0 to 12 for community value, that was just implementation of the survey, or are there other tactics?
Do you want to go back to the numbers? So for the scoring on community value, we went from 0 to 12 specific. Yes, exactly. We conducted our community value survey over the summer of 2022, and that allowed us to actually give ourselves scores in the community value area. So that was another, that line, if you look at that line, and then you look at the customer satisfaction line, those are the two biggest jumps we made. And the customer satisfaction is due to that NPS score, which is one of our key metrics.
Are there other tactics involved in community value that will impact that target?
Yes, there are. So there's lots, and maybe I'll...
We don't need to go through them. I just was curious if there's anything
that we're going to see that. I think the biggest thing is the biggest way that'll affect our organizational scorecard will be how we establish the way we're measuring our community partner perception.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, what questions? It's so nice to see this dawn something so clear, right? After kind of... You have to interpret, right, for years, how LTD is doing. And this is so nice that anyone can look at this and very clearly understand value, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it shows what Jameson was saying. There's a lot of good stuff going on and there's always work to do. And right, you know, that's where we're focused. We want to celebrate and keep going.
Well, thank you to the team who's made this happen. You know, the 400 plus man and woman hours that went into the strategic business plan and now this execution. And it's so great to see all your hard work pay off, and thank you. We love the graphs.
Wonderful.
Any other questions for Amy?
It's great.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
All right. We are right on time. So next up, we are actually going to hear from Tom, Mr. Coalesce himself, about the fiscal year 2024-26 comprehensive operations analysis.
Great, thank you. And I'm going to be short. In fact, Amy basically laid out my basic message with her slide that said launch COA Junction. But I just wanted to say, you know, as we're some of us have been through the first COA that we ever did, and again, COA Comprehensive Operations Analysis. And I want to say kind of how we've scoped it this time is we really want to look at the focus is on a fixed route service, but we don't think about our fixed route service outside of that broader spectrum of mobility and how our fixed route service interacts with that. So we're going to be looking at the fixed route service, but we're again, it's in that context of the broader mobility spectrum in the region. You'll recall back in 2018, we embarked on a COA. It was called Transit Tomorrow. The board actually paused that process in April of 2020 due to the pandemic. The next three-year cycle is coming up, and you'll be hearing from us later tonight about our STIF plan. And the STIF plan has funding in it to actually add service over that STIF period. So we're going to be using the COA to inform that addition of service. Again, it'll be an open and public process as we go through to figure out what we're going to do. And that's really all I have tonight is just to say we're launching this. We're in the procurement process, so it'll be several months until we have the consultant on board and then get going on the project. But
can you share with the board what some of your takeaways were from Transit Tomorrow? What did you learn that you can now apply to this new COA?
Well, I'll tell you, I think what we learned from our first effort was there's a difference between a system redesign and a comprehensive operations analysis. Mm-hmm. What the process we went through is really ended up being a system redesign, which I don't think we're ready for. And so we're looking at this iteration of the comprehensive operations analysis to really look deeply at kind of how we're operating service, how can we improve our service to the public that we serve. Again, with the stiff funding in play, we can look at adding service, for example, to the service down to Cottage Grove, for example, is, you know, that area of Crestwell Cottage Grove. I don't know if you guys think about it this way, but I do. That is the largest population area outside of the metro area within our district. So we need to look at how we're serving that. And so we're going to be excited in the COA to kind of look at how we can better serve that area. And the same goes for the rest of the system. So that's, I mean, that's what we're looking at. We're coming out of a time period where people are saying travel has changed. We'll be looking at how we can adapt our service to meet that need and that change.
Thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Gina.
So I wasn't here when Transit Tomorrow was developed and then halted, but I did get a chance to look at it when I first came on the board. And I was impressed with the metrics and the other pieces of information that looked like it was leading towards some decision-making about where to expand routes or maybe cut back others. Are we going to be looking at similar metrics?
Yeah, so the COA process, that, like I said, that was focused on more redesigning the system. The metrics are the same, right? So we're looking at using those metrics to guide where we're going to make investments, where we need to maybe improve things. And keep in mind, kind of in a structural sense, we've identified a frequent transit network. And that frequent transit network is actually adopted in the cities of Eugene and Springfield's transportation system plans. And so the idea is that's, and Gino, you were there, the land use transportation synthesis and symbiosis, that's that frequent transit network is intended to serve those areas where the cities are planning higher density housing and all. And so we're, as part of this plan, we'll be looking at kind of what can we do in this time period to further that mission. And then again, other things that can increase and improve our service.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Any other questions? Go ahead, Pete.
I'm not sure exactly how to ask this question, but to be clear about it, I understand that as we're coming out of the pandemic, seeing some similar patterns of pre-pandemic ridership and some changes. Is there in this comprehensive operational analysis, do you feel comfortable that we will know enough about the changes in ridership are going to be to make a qualified decision on these things?
Yeah, so I mean, we're going to take a snapshot of where the ridership is, right? And we're looking at the trends. I'll say, you know, for example, today, in part because school's back in session and the U of O is on campus, we're seeing a lot of growth in our ridership relative to what we had just a year ago. We're looking at the commute trip coming back and what that looks like. I'll just give you what we know for sure at this point. And you may have seen these charts before, but we have traditionally had two really distinct peaks in the demand for our service. A morning peak, which is a fairly actually it's an interest because it's not a sharp peak, but it's a distinct peak that runs from the normal, you think about the normal commute to work, and then you add the students, so that the students go to school a little bit later than work normally starts, and so you have that extended morning peak, and then, you know, the evening peak is a little sharper and it tails off a little bit differently. That kind of what we're seeing now, for example, is the morning peaks a lot shorter, which suggests to us that it's mostly the students that are using. We know for a fact that the students are using those routes that we operate. So we can even see it happening. But the commute is the big, I would say, the big uncertainty for us. How is that going to come back? Is it quite the same? Right now, all I can tell you is what we know for sure is that the peaks are similar to what they were, not quite the same. And we're going to be looking at that in more detail. Is that helpful?
I think so.
Okay.
Don, Michelle, Susan, questions about the COA?
No.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate that. So we are actually on to our last agenda item, which means I get to keep my job. Thanks, everyone, for helping keep this on time. John, we're so excited to see you. Come on up. And John is going to talk to us about the fiscal year 24-25 STIF fund update.
John's ready to join him tonight. So
thank you, everyone. Yes, we have a lot to talk about. So you're getting two of us.
So we have a PowerPoint tonight, and basically what we're going to do tonight is go over some of you have been through this the first two cycles of our statewide transit or transportation improvement fund funds and we're going to go through kind of where that's kind of what we're planning to do with those funds. As background, again, this is money, revenue that comes to us as a result of legislation that created a payroll tax on the employee. This funding has been used, it's been made available to us at the county level. So you'll hear us talk about things that are in district and out of district, but it's all within Lane County. One of the intents, the legislative intents of the program is actually to look at ways in which we can, the vision at the legislative level was how can we create a statewide network of public transit that people can use to get, not just, you know, within say the Eugene Springfield area or Lane County, but kind of connect across the state. So that's the vision. And again, you'll see tonight in the projects that we have, that we're doing a lot of that. The other applicant that I don't think we're going into any detail on what LCOG's doing specifically, but as you know, LCOG operates the Linked Lane service, the service from Eugene to Florence and then Florence to Yahats. And that service has been growing in ridership. So they're adding funding to that service. And so we're starting to see the kind of fruits of that those investments over time. And we're going to go through some details tonight.
And we have many programs we're going to be going through. So we're going to go through fairly briskly, but we're also planning to leave lots of time for questions. And if you ever want to bring us back to go into more detail about it, we'd be happy to.
So again, I would say about mission, vision, and values, what you'll see in what the state's asking us to do and what we get to do with this funding really just hits on all of those. And you'll see some of the criteria that we're using tonight.
Yeah, you'll note that many of our programs are going to be just directly speaking to our mission. So connecting our community, getting people where they need to go. We have a lot to be proud of. So we have quite a bit to talk about tonight. I think you can skip the next two slides and get it.
There you go. So this is the STIF criteria. These are criteria that are set up through the legislation. And so we look at each of these criteria and the application. We won't take you through the application, but it's very complex. It asks us to consider how our proposed investment meet each of these criteria. And you'll see various projects hit different ones a little stronger, but we have a program that hits on all of those.
Yeah, there's one criteria that's noticeably absent from this, and it's a change that's going to be upcoming in this current biennium. Many of our programs directly serve older adults and people with disabilities, and so you're going to see that well represented and reflected in our presentation today, and that's the incorporation of STF funds into the STIF process for this biennium. So these are continuations of ongoing programs specifically intended to serve those who may not ordinarily be able to access our fixed route bus. We'll get into a little bit more detail on them.
So this gives you a nice perspective on the process. I'll acknowledge Tiffany for coming up with this graphic. We had it in the last cycle.
But this gives you kind of a layout of the process of where we need to go. You know, again, like we're going to go over the projects that we have, and we have to engage our strategic planning committee in this process, and they'll provide a recommendation to you as the terminology that STIF program uses is public transportation service provider. So we are a public transportation service provider here at LTD. LCOG is a PTSP, but you will also act as a qualified entity in the state process to approve the overall plan for Lane County. And that'll include LCOG's projects as well. And we'll go through that at a later presentation. In addition, the state requires the formation of what's called the STIF Advisory Committee. And they have criteria for the different kinds of membership they're looking for to sit on this group. That group has already met a couple of times. And in fact, yesterday, they met and approved a recommendation to you as the qualified entity for the plan. And we'll come back with that at a later date. Then, like I said, the LTD board approves the projects both as a transportation service provider and then ultimately as a qualified entity. And then the grant submission this year has been rolled back a little bit early. Last time it was at the end of January. This time it's basically in the middle of January. So we'll be turning the plan in, the STIF plan, approved by you on January 16th. And feel free to ask questions as we go if you have any. So this is just some of the things that we experienced going through the development of the plan. Again, this is there's a lot of uncertainty in the plan that was created last time. That was in the middle of the COVID, and we've got so the state allows us to carry over some of these funds, and I think it's important to understand as the board that these funds come to Lane County. They were generated here in Lane County. That's how the state determines how much we have. And so all the employment in Lane County, all the employees have generated what we result in. Basically, it's like over 2 years, I think it's $17 million. And so that money, again, per the criteria that we have, is allocated to different projects. In that time, this current formula plan year, our service was reduced to essential trips only. Again, some of you were on the board when we went through that process. Some of our services were paused, including, and John can speak more to the details of this, the Ride Floor Shopper, Cottage Grove Connector, those kinds of services. We did not, in this plan year that we're in now, include a lot of additional services just because there was a lot of uncertainty. We weren't sure we had the drivers, et cetera. And then the supply chain challenges have really affected our ability to, as we've ordered vehicles, to have them be done in a time that we expected. So we may have, again, like I said, the state allows us to carry over funds. And so some of that funding is, we're assuming, is rolling forward. That'll cover the cost of the buses that are late to us.
These have certainly been interesting times for all of us, and we've faced some challenges. And some of those have been, we've had plans for expansions of services using SIF funds. However, the pandemic wasn't particularly the right time to be doing more when, in the first time in our history, we were encouraging some members of the public to be able to stay home, stay safe, and not be in a crowded bus if they had other transportation options. And so now we're looking at the new biennium as an opportunity to be able to continue these plans for expansion that we had for our current biennium. And that's where we're looking to roll into some of our proposed programs for the current biennium into the next.
So to talk about the plan, this coming fiscal year 24 and 25, we've got, so like I said before, there's in-district projects and then there's out-of-district projects, and we'll speak to both of those. There's projects in both categories. So we're going to go through the first set of in-district projects, specialized services, service increases,
passenger fare programs, the administration of the program, and then our vehicle expansion and replacement. So that's the broad categories. So the first one is, then out of district, we have vehicle expansion, replacement, service increases, and administration of that portion of the projects. So you want to talk to specialized services?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So this is our first project, and these are our population-based funding amounts, or what previous biennials you would have known as STF funds, now getting rolled into the SIF process. So these are all services that directly provide transportation options for older adults and people with disabilities. This is an area where as LTD, we really shine. And I really want to highlight that our RideSource Center is something unique and special to our community. So I was just talking with our contracted management team there today, and they provide services all throughout the country. And they noted, John, you've got something really special here. We have this umbrella of RideSource services with all of these different programs under that. It's something they've never done before until they came to our area. And they're actually using that as a model that they're using throughout the country at this point. Being able to have both ADA paratransit trips and our non-emergent medical transportation, and a lot of the other programs that I'll speak to all under one roof, so that for members of the public, they just have one phone number to call and we take care of the rest. Winds up being something so profound that even certain people actually choose to move to our community because of services mm-hmm. like this that we offer to people with disabilities in our area. So our ADA paratransit service is a prime example of that. This is actually a federally mandated service. So within 3/4 of a mile where our fixed route bus goes within the metropolitan area, we provide RideSource paratransit transportation to people with disabilities who ordinarily wouldn't be able to access our fixed route bus. It's origin to destination, meaning we pick people up right where they're at and we take them exactly where they're going with a scheduled trip. In addition to that, we also have a shopper shuttle. This is a shuttle for typically for older adults going on grocery and shopping excursions. It's intended to be social outings where people can get together. They can go and do their shopping as a group. They can even get additional assistance with their bags, loading up groceries onto the vehicle. Something above and beyond what we would typically be able to offer on RideSource. This is a benefit to us because we're able to group people on a trip instead of having individual rides that wind up being very costly to us. This winds up being beneficial for members of the community who want to go on a social excursion together, get some additional assistance and get all their shopping done in a fun outing together. And so it winds up being a mutually beneficial program that I think has been widely successful. And so you'll hear about some plans for expansion. But this in particular for this project is just for the core service. And everything within this first project is a continuation of existing services that were previously funded using STF, now put into this SIF program. On here, we also have vehicle preventive maintenance. We maintain a fleet of approximately 75 vehicles within our specialized service fleet. Most of those are within our internal RideSource fleet. However, we also maintain vehicles that are used for, say, the Rodie Express in Florence, the Diamond Express in Oak Ridge, South Lane Wheels in the Cottage Grove and South Lane areas, and others. We maintain a volunteer program for rural areas that otherwise don't have access to the transportation service. This is a partnership with Senior and Disability Services. And you're going to hear me talk a lot about a lot of organizations that we're collaborative with. It's a running theme throughout much of the work that we're doing. We honestly can't do it without all of our partners and stakeholders. So we contract with Senior Disability Services to be able to provide a network of volunteers who are able to transport people. And we simply reimburse for the administrative costs of running the program, as well as gas mileage reimbursement for those willing to volunteer. We have a partnership with Whitebird Clinic, a local nonprofit, to provide behavioral health transportation for folks who might not ordinarily be able to ride on one of our fixed route bus due to the nature of a disability or on the way to receive care through, say, Lake County Behavioral Health or other similar types of services. We offer trips for veterans, specifically those going to VA clinics or receiving care who are eligible veterans who otherwise wouldn't be in our service area, but still have important or necessary needs that need to be attended to. We make sure that we have a program specifically to provide for those transportation services, as well as a Crucial Connections program, which is absolutely vital that we've noticed in times for unexpected needs, which have included things like the pandemic, wildfires, as we've recently seen, unfortunately, and other exigent circumstances in which we've needed to be able to transport folks for which we have no other program or other way that we could anticipate. We do an amazing partnership with the Pearl Buck Center, yet another nonprofit, which is providing preschool transportation. This is the only program I'm going to note where we're actually not necessarily transporting someone with a disability, but actually the children of people with disabilities. This is to take people to preschool programs to ensure that they maintain parity with their peers. Studies have shown demonstrably that by reliably getting people into these preschool programs, they're able to maintain parity with people their same age throughout their entire K through 12 experience. So it winds up being incredibly successful and an important investment in our community. We also provide services within South Lane County, and we're looking to have some changes with that, with the nature of Cottage Grove and LCD's relationship evolving over time. And we'll speak more to that with some of our other projects that we'll speak to here in just a moment. We have a partnership with Alternative Work Concepts, yet another nonprofit in our area, to provide travel training and transit host services. Travel training is for individuals either with cognitive or developmental disabilities, or older adults, or folks who have never ridden the bus before. Learning how to pay fare, how to let your driver know when you're getting off at the right stop, how to navigate our system, how to plan a trip, everything that somebody might need to be able to ride independently, we're able to assist with that. Our transit hosts are individuals who are stationed right at our Eugene station to assist folks with what's often the most difficult part of riding our system, transferring between one bus and another during one of our busiest environmental factors. There's a lot of sounds and smells and sights going on in the middle of one of our pulses at Eugene Station. And we have folks that specifically can be scheduled to meet someone right as they're getting off the bus and make sure they get on the right next bus so that they can get where they need to go and otherwise travel independently. We do eligibility assessments for folks being able to ride on RideSource. So that's a conversation and another partnership with Senior and Disability Services, White Bird Clinic, and Alternative Work Concepts, specialized to be able to meet the needs of an individual who might not otherwise be able to ride on our fixed route bus. We'll be able to both tell them about all our different transportation options and make sure that we're there to be able to support them as they need. We also have match funds on here that are used for federal grants we receive to support the Rhodey Express and Diamond Express services. Those are in Florence and Oak Ridge. So it's not the core portion of the funding, but it does help support the service overall. And these are all funds that we've typically used in prior biennials to be able to support all of these services. So you typically in past years, you would have had me come before with a separate STF presentation. Now it's just going to be combined together with these STIF programs. So I know I'm going through very quickly and we will have time for questions, but we have so much to talk about. I want to make sure we have a chance to get through it all.
That's fine. And John, on the agenda, you guys had 20 minutes for your agenda item. So just do your best to stick to that. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
So service increases. Real quickly, you want to talk about the ADA paratransit?
Yeah, I will. So while the project one was referring to maintaining existing services, we are anticipating a change in the Cottage Grove and Creswell areas. So we feel that with increased fixed route service that we're proposing, it's going to trigger the ADA paratransit requirement, same as we have in our metropolitan area, that within 3/4 of a mile where our fixed route bus goes within the city area, we'll need to be able to provide ride source service. So we're anticipating that to be both a change and an increased need on our part, in which we're asking for funds to be able to support. This again is going to be a federal requirement, which we need to be able to maintain as complementary to our fixed route system.
And then additional fixed route service, again, as I said up front, we're looking at being able to add service in both 24 and 25, and that's going to be informed by the COA process. So we'll be looking at that as well. Expanded, you talked about the expanded RideSource shopper service.
I can make just a quick mention. So I noted that the shopper service has been widely successful and something that we've seen as mutually beneficial partnership. And at the same time, we're easily able to fill our shopper shuttle and we're looking to actually expand that. So currently, if someone calls us and says, I'd like to go on a shopping trip, we say, in your neighborhood, we can schedule you once a week. We're looking to actually expand that to twice a week to be able to meet the demand.
And the Cottage Grove Connector
Yeah, so I also want to make mention the Cottage Grove Connector, or Mobility on Demand, or MOD service in the Cottage Grove area, is a wonderful app-based service where you can, through an app on your phone or through an old-fashioned phone call, schedule a trip right where you're at, right at that moment, and take you where you need to go within the Cottage Grove city limits. Up until this point, it's been a pilot program through Lane Transit, and we've actually reached a point where we feel we have enough data that at the end of the current fiscal year, our plan is to take that out of pilot status and turn that into regular service.
That's great.
Our plan as part of the upcoming STIF biennium is to leave enough room that we can still adjust hours of service, days of service, and add some flexibility, as well as just general inflation and cost of living adjustment in there as well.
So do you mind if Gino asks a quick question about that?
Go for it.
So thank you for the explanation of the service increases. Those all make great sense. What's not on the list that didn't make it?
In terms of
a need where you wish you would have been able to do a service increase.
Well, so I'm going to just say there's a lot more to describe here in terms of what we've done. I was going to suggest we're going to come back to you for the action item. We can go through the rest of the program just to keep to time tonight.
Yeah,
so just wanted to say that. But then with your request to, so what we came up with initially, we said, let's not look at the amount of funding that we have. What are our needs? I'll just say we wanted to add more service. So we've kind of cut that back to stay within the expected revenue. So those are the cut, both with respect to ADA service and fixed route service. Those are some of the big ones. What follows from that then was the, we're doing vehicle replacement. That's the other major investment that we're making with these funds. So some of that got cut back a little bit. We're cutting back service, cutting back vehicles. I mean, is that what you're getting at?
So what I'm hearing is there's no glaring need that's met with this proposal.
That's correct.
Okay.
No glaring unmet.
Although there's a vacancy on the STIF committee. Sounds like you might be interested in learning a little bit more about this topic. So keep that guy in mind for January. And just a reminder to board members, if you ever want to get together with staff and learn more about the topic, you would go through Jameson for that. Just contact Jameson and say, hey, I really enjoyed that presentation. I've got a few more questions. Would love some follow-up. And Jameson will set that up. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So do you want us to,
I'd say probably a few more minutes and then let's move on to questions.
Okay. Let's do another slide. So you might recall, some of you who've been through this, that we've got a number of things that we're doing with STIF funds to create the K-12 student fare program and the low income fare program. And we're also investing in a multimodal trip planner and integrated fare validation. And I think, John, you were going to describe.
Yeah, so kind of for each of these, what we're envisioning is the ability to be able to use one pass, one tap card, one system to be able to ride, not only throughout Lane Transit. So currently, we're not able to use our tap cards on our ride source system, but we do have the ability to try and integrate that over time, as well as in other areas such as in Cottage Grove and Florence and Oak Ridge, even potentially on partnership programs like Link Lane. If in our area someone can have one transit pass that gets them anywhere they need to go, that would really be kind of an ideal system for us. It's probably also just worth mentioning for our low income fare program that's partnering with many, many local nonprofits in which we're able to reach people that we ordinarily wouldn't be able to be in contact with, where through a referral basis, we're able to get transit passes in the hands of people who need it the most.
So again, we have more, but we can come back next time and go through the rest of the investments that we're planning with this funding. That makes sense.
Is there more? Do you have more slides? Is that what you're saying?
Right, more projects to get the whole, and it's in the packet. You can look at it that way. But we will be back, and we can go through the rest of it at that point in time.
And I'm not trying to rush you. We just always want to be respectful of when we allocate time to an agenda item and staff members, or making sure everyone gets the time that was allocated to them. So this is not trying to rush you at all. It's absolutely very valuable information. So it's really up to the board at this time if you want them to continue? Do you have questions? Do you want to have a secondary presentation, follow-up presentation? What do you prefer?
I'd like to be.
Yeah. Okay, Susan. Yep.
If we do the follow-up presentation, would there be enough time to make any changes? Should we desire changes? So far, I haven't seen anything that I would change.
So I would put it this way. Our schedule is to have, so the STIF Advisory Committee has made its decision. It's going to provide advice on this program, actually. We have to take it through our SPC. We're planning to have them look at it at the end of this month on the 29th. At that point, since the STIF Advisory Committee has signed off of it, we're going to ask SPC to do as well. We would then bring that to the board in December. We don't have to turn the plan in until January 16th. So that does give you a chance to deliberate and say, hey, bring us back a different program.
What? I don't know, maybe I'm getting into detail here that is not necessary, but you've had some discussion about the service to Southland County, and I'm aware of something. I mean, they have, of course, you have a contract with the city of Cottage Grove, and then there's a contract between Cottage Grove and Southland Wheels, which seems kind of encumbered. But Southland Wheels is providing a lot of, ADA services. And as far as Crestwell goes, I don't know that there's any service outside of 3/4 mile that, you know, LTD goes into Crestwell. And then I think the whole city limits of Crestwell is within 3/4 mile. So I'm not sure. Is RideSource going to provide service there, or are you going to contract with Southland Wheels or contract City of Cottage Grove or the City of Crestwell? These are all, they're details, but they do have to be worked out. And then also Southland Wheels is providing this Lane Douglas collection. So we're actually providing services down to Curtin and Drain and market areas that are north of Roseburg, essentially. The people from North Douglas County relate to Cottage Grove and South Lane more than they do to Douglas.
So I would suggest that we come back to you with a more comprehensive discussion of how the different pieces of transit are working down there. We've had good conversation. I know John can talk to a recent conversation with the city and South Lane Wheels. And just so you can kind of get that sense of how all of that service works. And then that'll give you the context for what we're proposing in terms of additional service with fixed route and
it's a good chance we'll get another fixed route in the middle of the day somewhere.
Exactly. So exactly what we're looking
at. Yeah. Okay. That would be well.
You bring forward a great question. And I think just maybe to assuage any concerns, we are getting into those detailed conversations with all our stakeholders, which includes regular meetings with the City of Cottage Grove. We've been meeting with South Lane Wheels, LCOG, and others that we will need to be able to partner with to do this work going into the future. So I think we're all aligned in being able to provide service. And our intention is that for individuals who are currently receiving service, that they'll continue to be able to get where they need to go.
Okay. Michelle and Pete, do you have questions on what's been presented so far? Would you like to have the rest of the presentation or have them come back at the work session? What's your preference?
I mean, we have time on, not this item specifically, but the time frame of the meeting, if they want to continue, I'm good.
Okay. Listening. Pete?
Like you, I've been on the STIF advisory committee or as a representing the board, and so I've kind of been through this already, like you have. So I think it's more for the rest of the board.
Okay. Well, let's do this since there is remaining time. Let's go ahead and finish the presentation. And, you know, in the future, Jameson, this is your ship, so you'll be able to determine, but, you know, we'll do a better job on our end or whoever is after me to make sure that we're giving agenda items the proper amount of time. So my apologies that we did not put more time on the agenda.
And can I say, when we were looking at the agenda, we hadn't gone through this presentation.
Okay.
And we've gone through it a couple of times now with the SIF advisory committee. So we know, and you can tell us if the detail's too much, we can cut back. But I think it's important to get that detail in there as you make the decision. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's our job, right, and committee's job to read the items ahead of time and read what you prepare. And so the more information that you're putting in writing so that you don't have to go through 14 programs per slide, that, you know, that's going to be helpful so people can be able to absorb that information ahead of time. You don't have to verbalize that. But so let's go ahead and continue, okay?
Of course. And I just want to acknowledge this is incredibly dense information. So we're doing our best to quickly go through. And even for folks who have done this in the prior bienniums, 2 years is a long time, and it's enough time to forget everything from the previous time. So as far as we're concerned, it's time well spent.
So SIF administration, broadly, that's SIF administration. It's the cost of running the program. It's a lot of money goes to Christina's shop here. It's also, we have a contract with LCOG to help us facilitate the program. So that's what that is. And then the sustainable service reserve is basically taking our service reserve policy and applying that percentage to the proposed service increases so that we're always keeping that in a sustainable fashion.
So can Gino ask a quick question about that?
Yeah. The SIF administration, what percentage of total expenditures is SIF administration?
I knew you were going to ask that. I can look that up. It's out of 17 million. So okay. It's whatever. Does that help?
Yeah, sure. That's very small.
Yeah, it's really.
So I had mentioned we are proposing an expansion to our RideSource shopper service, and so we need another vehicle to be able to do that, and that's programmed in here. We also have specialized services replacement vehicles. This is matching federal 5310 direct disbursement dollars that we also receive. Our average estimated vehicle useful service life is about 7 years for a cutaway. We need to regularly be replacing those. We also have a Diamond Express bus. This is a 40-footer that goes between Oak Ridge and metropolitan area. And I'll note, because it both touches Oak Ridge and Eugene, we have it in both the in and out of district categories.
And then we're also doing fixed route replacement vehicles where SIF funding is being used to provide 25% of the match for those federal funds. I should say 25% match. 25% match.
So the other half of that Diamond Express vehicle is reflected on our out of district vehicle replacements, as well as a Rodeo Express bus to support expansion services in Florence. And these are the services themselves that those vehicles would support. So this is a fourth trip. Currently, there are 3 weekday trips in the Diamond Express. And we are also anticipating rolling out a Saturday pilot program for Oak Ridge, particularly for folks that want to go for either tourism, mountain biking. It's one of the capitals to be able to recreate. And for the Rodeo Express, currently we have a 1-hour loop that goes between the Fred Meyer on 101 and Old Town. And we're proposing being able to split that into 2 30-minute loops, which will be a frequency expansion.
And again, the same for out of district, we have a sustainable service reserve there. The administration for out of district is rolled into the district. So, and I think that's it.
So I have to step out, so I'm gonna turn it over to Dawn. Okay,
let's see where you are.
Passing this on board, please.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Go ahead.
I would thank you for the report. I mean, even though you read it in the packet, it's not the same as getting context with you, being able to answer questions in real time. So thank you for that. On the crucial connections, And you described some of what that is.
Absolutely.
Is there a way to, I mean, what's considered an opportunity if there is an event or if there's something that an NGO is doing? Are there opportunities for additional connection?
That's a great question, and thank you for asking that. Typically, we receive requests through partnership referrals, mm-hmm. and most typically through senior and disability services. So this is a critical referral that we get through LCOG. And so these are folks where there's typically a one-time need while somebody is in a situation that's unexpected while they're trying to make arrangements for longer-term transportation options. So when someone finds themselves with nowhere to be, no one to be able to take them where they need to go, typically folks that are in rural areas who, you know, someone has an important surgery scheduled and there's no one that typically goes out there. There's no Uber or Lyft. There's no volunteer. There's no one who can make that happen. We say, okay, we can make this happen. And they're typically life-changing trips. So it's a small portion of our budget, but it fills a very critically important need. And we've also been able to use that for exigent community circumstances, such as during the recent Oak Ridge wildfires and others. During the pandemic, we've had certain trips where there just was no other way to be able to get someone to important healthcare or to fill some other kind of critical need. This has been an important program to be able to fill gap.
I guess that's what I was curious about, like the group effort that is maybe just a one-shot thing. Something comes to mind is that maybe there's a program for elderly, and I say that, you know, carefully, but with the church group that are trying to get from one place to another, is that the kind of thing that this is available to, or?
Not typically for group transportation. And I'll note there are some particular charter requirements mm-hmm. that we need to follow. But typically, if we're aware that there are people that need to get from one place to another, we try and find a way to make that happen.
Okay. And the other question I had about the volunteer services, the network of volunteers, how do you recruit volunteers? Is that something you have plenty of or you could use more of?
Well, let's absolutely recruit some more if you know anyone who's interested. But I will say, again, I keep pointing to the many partnerships and collaborative relationships that we have throughout our community. We simply can't do this on our own. It's only through working with folks like LCOG, City of Eugene, City of Springfield, City of Cottage Grove, City of Oak Ridge, City of Florence. We work with many nonprofits in our area. We all work together because we can do more together than we ever could individually on our own, even with the same resources. And that's how we're able to do so much. And I think that's also why other communities look to us as a model for what we do, is we're able to leverage these relationships to do more than most other communities really can dream of.
So you can always use more volunteers.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be a great project for a service club.
Agree.
Any other question? I have a couple of questions. Do we have any, I mean, there's nothing in this presentation, but perhaps in the general discussion in the community, is there an integration with the micro transit into the frequent transit network?
So you're specifically looking at how we're integrating?
Yeah, the bikes and scooters and stuff to get them.
Yeah.
Feed into our frequent transit network.
Right. Well, I think we're always looking for those processes. We're involved in the bike share program. We're involved in bike parking. You know, we commissioned the bike parking study for the region. So we're looking at those things. And, you know, the mobility on demand service that we operate is really a good example of how we're looking at how that can relate to feed our fixed route, but you know, first and foremost, providing that additional accessibility.
I guess I'm kind of looking at, was any kind of funding going to, you know, Cascadia Mobility or somebody who's focused on getting the bike share program out, making sure they're a little more stable and have more access themselves?
Well, to that particular point, Don, ODOT has ruled that bike share isn't a STIF eligible source of funding. It's not considered public transit by ODOT's definition. That said, we do, you know, look at ways and support and are part of the discussions about keeping Cascade Mobility fully funded. Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I mean, we talked about vehicle replacement, but there's a supply chain issue. Are we able to really replace the vehicles we need to?
That has been an ongoing challenge. And I'll note, actually, Matt, if you wanted to speak to that directly.
I would say, Don, it's a great question. I think if you're keeping your eyes open to what's going on with supply shortage across the whole nation, we're having problems. We believe, based upon the plan, we will continue to be able to replace. So transit agencies specific to some of our fixed route buses are looking at us and are impressed in regards to the way we were able to get vehicles. And so we're pleased with our progress. But as we look at some of our paratransit vehicles, we didn't find ourselves being successful this biennium. So we have increased the quantity we'll get in the next 2 years as it will be presented next time we come before you guys. So I'm confident we got a good plan. We're going to be before the contracts committee consistently to get more
vehicles. Actually replacing, well, since that's an issue with Southland Wheels, their vehicles are breaking down and they have on order stuff, but
yep.
It may be still a couple of years before they get them.
I don't think a couple of years. We're trying to be creative to get some. So we have an order in up to 30. We have the ability again. That was in the contract we went a couple months ago. So we believe that we'll be able to execute on some of those. It's not in the time frame we wished or hoped or planned. But as we look at the next biennium of the STIF, we think we can set ourselves up for success to exhaust some of these fundings to the vehicle replacement for Southland Wheels. So we're anxiously hoping to get some, and we have plans to make sure service continues to be served in that community.
A great question. And even when our vehicles meet their useful estimated service life, they don't immediately turn to dust. But what we do notice is that it becomes more and more expensive to perform preventive maintenance. So we are able to stretch the life a little bit longer to accommodate the supply chain issues, but it does come at some cost though.
Don, if I could add that issue of the vehicle backlog, particularly on body on chassis, is at the highest levels of FTA as well. There was a meeting the other week where the deputy administrator had mentioned that they were, the administration is aware, FTA leadership is aware, and they're applying pressure to try to break that backlog because it's such a national issue. Additionally, the bus coalition, of which we have a board of directors seat, is also working that angle through Congress as well to make sure that's a priority. So, while we're working it on our end here locally, it's also being worked nationally. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Thank you. Anything else? Anyone? So I guess you're released, John.
Very fine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
John, I'd just like to say, it may be dense, but your passion for all this is really clear when you're talking.
For our whole organization, yeah. This team effort. Yeah.
So I guess the next issue will be written reports. Are there any written reports from the staff? Nothing. Department reports.
Just a comment. I do find those written reports informative. Even though I don't have questions, they're useful. Thank you.
Yeah, there was a lot of great stuff in it this month, and I just want to highlight a couple of things. One, Tom's history of LTD was really fun to read.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. A lot of information I didn't know, and I was...
Look for the book coming out.
I look forward to it. I want the signed copy. And then congratulations on warranty claim recoveries. That's an amazing amount of money that's come back in here, so that's awesome.
Yeah. Anything else for the order? Then I guess we stand adjourned. I got to do that.
There you go.